Today on Real Radio.
It was a different Jesus to Judas. He wanted a Jesus that would take the Roman Empire off the yoke of Israel's back and establish his kingdom. That's why John the Baptist said, "Are you the one or should we wait for another one?" John the Baptist thought the same thing.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. We're in a mini-series taken from Luke 6 in verses 12 through 26. It's a section that chronicles a number of key developments and telltale signs in the Messiah's ministry, including the fact that he was a man of prayer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called People God Can Use.
That is a verse warning directly against routine prayer. It directly addresses rote prayer. It's in the face of repeated prayer. You say, wait a minute, didn't Paul the Apostle pray three times for his body to be healed? Yes, he did. And he may have prayed more for all I know, but there's no fourth attempt recorded. I'm not knocking it. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not knocking if you pray 25 times. What I am knocking and what Jesus is saying, don't do this to me, that when you pray, you have this mechanical prayer. Jesus says, I don't want to hear that. Why? Because you can do it in your sleep. You can pull the string. Can you imagine? Say, Jack, what's the big deal? Oh, okay, you just get married. Okay, and you're brand new married, and you come home from work, both of you, you're there, you come walking in the door. Hi, how are you? How was your day? Fine, how was your day? It's fine. And that happens every day? Are you kidding me? That's not a relationship, that's insanity. You know, remember Fred Flintstone? Remember him and Barney, they go to work every day with the little lunchbox, same thing. And the same routine. Some people take that into their existence with God. Like he's some sort of a blind, deaf, nothing. Like he's a rock. Hey, God, all right, I'm out of here. What is that? He is God. He's eternal. He's alive. He loves you. His son died on the cross for you, and he wants to talk to you, and he wants to tell you things. All right, okay, Jack, I get the point. Okay, God, speak to me. You got 5 minutes. Okay. Try walking up to your husband or to your wife. Hey, I love you. Come on, we got 5 minutes. That's not love. That's ridiculous. Can you imagine walking to your boss tomorrow? You're going to go to your boss. Hey, boss, I know we're supposed to be here for 8 hours today, but I'm really into quality time. I tell you what, bud, I'm going to give you 4 hours of the best time you've ever seen, and then I'm out of here. You'll be fired. God, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, but I tell you, it's going to be the best 5 minutes I've ever prayed. It's not like that. Sometimes God touches us in a millisecond, in a nanosecond. He'll touch us, and sometimes, church, if you know what I'm talking about with this one, will someone encourage me here in a minute? Sometimes it can take a year or two before you begin to hear from God again, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be hearing from Him. Have you ever gone through a dry season where you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing and that you're walking with God, but you ain't feeling a thing? And it's like a desert, and it's like, God, where are you? And you check all your bases. Lord, did I do this? Did I do that? Something wrong? God, where are you? And it's almost as though the heavens seem like brass. And a year and a half breaks, or a 2 year period breaks, and God says, I was testing your faith. I was with you the whole time. I was wondering how long you would hang on. You passed the test. Next trial is in the shop being prepared for you. Seasons, dry times, difficult, whatever it is, challenges. But how can you exist with him in a rote, repetition, mechanical way? It's impossible. God uses people who have a living, vital relationship with God. You say, Jack, that's what I want. I'm glad. When you throw your arms up to him and you say, Lord, here I am. Send the guy sitting next to me. Lord, here I am. Use all those people. No, you say, Lord, here I am. And I have read your book. And I know that you are good. And I trust you. You say that in your youth. I tell you, the younger the better. I came to Jesus at 19 years of age, and I could kick myself for wasting 19 years. But God knows all things in his time. But when you have to repeat, when you repeat, when you see people repeating, I thought about repeating. You know what? When do you repeat yourself over and over again when Jesus says, don't do that? When do you find yourself repeating? How about this? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You repeat yourself when you don't think people can hear you. Or you repeat yourself when you don't think anybody's listening. God is always listening. The Bible says that his ear is attentive to your cry. We need to pray. Also, verses 14 to 16, we learn here that Jesus, he's absolutely committed to this, and that it's his work to build the Father's kingdom. Jesus is literally in spirit and in flesh revealing the kingdom of God to those he's coming in contact with. Now watch how he does this, and I love this. Look at verse 14. And he called to him Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, that's two sets of brothers right there, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zealot or Zealotes, Judas the son of James, and Judas, who also became a traitor. By the way, there are three sets of brothers there. Isn't that interesting? That's encouraging to have your brother come to the Lord. I had the joy of my brother coming to know Jesus. Here are three sets of brothers. And the rest of these names. You might say, well, Jack, these names appear different in the other Gospels. Same guys, different names, often nicknames, very common. Sometimes you're called by your last name. Sometimes you're called by your first name. Sometimes you're called by the city you came out of. For example, many scholars believe that Judas Iscariot is Judas from a town that we would say Kiryat. But be that as it may, the fact is Jesus calls them by name. How did he know to call them out by name? God the Father had spoken to him. He prayed. He gets the names. He invites them to come. Now, at this moment, imagine for a moment we step into the pages. Chronologically, we don't know much about these guys. We don't know anything about Peter. We know Peter now. We've read the books. But we don't know much about Peter. Who are these guys? What do we know about them? We don't know much then, but we know some stuff now. Are any of them doctorates in theology? Anybody have it? No. Well, surely they must have been like a synagogue supervisor. No. Who are these guys? And this, look, verses 14 to 16 drives people crazy. You want to know why? It flies in the face of human achievement. These guys, God Almighty, hands the church over to these guys. I would not have done that. I would have gotten some big buff angels to come down out of heaven and use those guys. But people, they smell. They make mistakes. They're full of their own selves and opinions, and they're rude. And they're strange. And they're fallen. They're just like their mom and dad, Adam and Eve. They're weirdos. Why would God take something that he's going to buy with his own blood and hand it into the hands of people? It's a weird thing, isn't it? Again, I wouldn't have done that unless God's got a plan that somehow in the whole process, his name is glorified and his name is honored. You know, this thing that we call the church, and this is obviously a local church. There is the church, what's called universal. It's in the earth. It's the believers. All those who've trusted in Jesus, they're born again. There are brothers and sisters worldwide. And then there's the local church. That's the two manifestations of the church. One, this address is in the body of all. If that body is truly the body of Christ. But you're here. And God is moving and working in a church where you attend to bring out of you the character that Christ is working into you. Isn't it funny? I'm not going to go to church anymore. Do you understand that that's probably a great thing for the rest of us? Did you hear about that guy that crash landed on a deserted island in the middle of the ocean? And he was there for 35 years. And they found out, oh my gosh, there are signs of life on this deserted island, little tiny South Pacific island. And when the rescue crew got there, they said, what did you do all these years? 35 years you've been crash landed on this island. He said, man, I just, looked at all the creation and all the stuff. I realized God is real and he's awesome. And, well, what's that over there? That's my house. That's where you built that for yourself. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Well, what's that building? That's my church. You built a church to worship God? Yeah, it's right down the street from my house. It's great. It's great. Wow. Well, wait a minute. What's that building over there? Oh, that's the church I used to attend. If people come to it, there's going to be problems. That's the church. It's a hospital, and it's a rocket launch site at the same time. It is a center for therapy, and it's a place for higher education. I mean, you name it. It's where the poorest of the poor should be welcomed and where the rich can relax. It's where the black and the white and every color in between can find hope and purpose and meaning and love and acceptance. God works that way, and it's all wrapped around the name of Jesus Christ. And it all centers on the truth of his word, the Bible. The Spirit of God will do that. It's what he does. And so they are there. God is birthing a work, and it's amazing. It's wonderful to us. And so he calls them out by name. And here are their names. And I thought about that. You know, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, I will give him a new name written, which no man knows except he who receives it. Did you know that when we get to heaven, God's going to give you a new name? Did you know that? See, I like my name. Too bad. You're going to get a new name. I'm glad. You know what my name is? Guess what my name is? It's Jack. People say, it must be John. Nobody names their kid Jack. Jack was my dad's nickname. It's my legal name. It's my real passport birth certificate name, Jack. You know what? You may think, well, that's fine, Jack. You know what I hear? I'm very sensitive. It's my name. I hear it all the time. All the time. Oh, not like you might think. I hear this all the time. You know what? This radio, it's jacked. Excuse me. What? I said my radio, it's all jacked up. I don't get it. What is that? Excuse me, my name is Jack. What do you mean? I don't know what it means, but it doesn't sound good if it's broken. Hi, Jack. That's not good. There's low Jack. When you look up Jack in a dictionary, it is a thing that lifts heavy objects or a type, a species of the equine family related to the horse. Not a good thing. I can't wait to enter heaven and the Lord's gonna say, Jack, come here. What? Here's your new name. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Why? Why does he speak of this? Because he calls us out of the world, and even like with Peter, his name is Simon, but Jesus is going to call him Peter. His name was Saul of Tarsus, but his name became Paul the Apostle. He changes our names. There was a man by the name of Jabez, whose name means painful, and he says, oh, God, change my name. And God changed his name. God's going to change our names. You know what? Technically, God who lives in eternity, I could theologically argue this. My name, where it counts, has already been changed. It's just on this side that I have to put up with Jack. But you and I are going to the kingdom of God forever, in his presence forever. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new name. Why a new name? Because you have an absolutely new life. And all along the way, he's working in us. This amazing redemptive power. Yes, Jesus died for us on the cross. And yes, he saved us from our sins. But he's also working in and out of us salvation towards others, that they would watch us and say, what's with you? Why are you different? And right then, we just point them to our Jesus. We just point them right to Christ. Well, you're not the same person you used to be. And I know you're not perfect, but what's the deal? It's Jesus. And he called the disciples and made them apostles. And we'll end with this. It says there at the end that there was one Judas Iscariot who also became a traitor. We don't have time to get into this. I will just say this. He became a traitor. The word in Greek is he became a traitor. It doesn't mean he was born a traitor. It doesn't mean that he belonged to some club of traitors. It doesn't mean that God picked him because he had to be the traitor. Listen to me. There's a lot of junk out there right now teaching heresy. That, in fact, when I was in Israel, it was on the front page of the newspaper. Front page of the paper. It said that the Jewish nation is not responsible for the death of Jesus. That's what it said in the paper. This is a secular newspaper. The Jewish nation is not responsible for the death of Jesus. They went on to say that some ancient manuscript was found from 1st or 2nd century that proves that Jesus and Judas had an agreement. He would be the Messiah and he would be the traitor. And they had a little deal and they carried it through. You'll sacrifice yourself by hanging yourself, and I'll sacrifice myself by getting crucified. And the Jewish newspaper said in Jerusalem, see, we've been telling you guys for 2,000 years we're not responsible. Of course they're not responsible for it. God's responsible for the death of Jesus. The Bible makes it clear that God the Father sent him to die on the cross for our sins. God just used the Jewish leadership. God used the Roman Empire. But you know what? Let's stop pointing. It was my sin that put him on the cross. You say, yeah, Jack, you go. It was your sin. And yours too. We crucified him. Judas became a traitor. Yes, theologically, God in his infinite knowledge before the world was ever created, did not the Father know that Judas was going to betray him? Of course he did. But Jesus, it's kenosis in Greek, Jesus in the flesh, he willed to not know all things. It wasn't until later that you hear Jesus say, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man? When Jesus called the disciples, did he go, Peter, James, Bartholomew, Judas, over here. Keep your eye on that guy. No, none of that. You know how trusted Judas was? He carried the money bag for the whole band. He sat near Jesus at the place of favor. When Satan at the upper room possessed Judas, Jesus turned and says, and I believe he speaks to Satan. He says, what you do, do quickly. And Judas runs out, betrays Jesus. And in the garden, when Judas came up with the soldiers, Jesus says, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man? He became a traitor. Say, what are you saying, Jack? I'm saying this. When you read your Bible, and Jesus sent out the 12 to go perform miracles, raise the dead, preach the gospel, and cleanse lepers. Church, listen. Answer. Was Judas in the group of 12? The answer is yes, he was. When Judas was in the crowd and Jesus was raising people from the dead and preaching the gospel, didn't Judas hear? Didn't he see? Didn't he see Jesus do the amazing things that Jesus did? Yes, he did. Listen, Judas came to Jesus, come to find out, for other motives. It's Judas who, apparently by joining ranks with the Jewish leadership, tried to establish the kingdom by force. Many scholars believe that, and it's a very easy argument. What was Judas doing? He had a different view of Jesus than the rest of them. It was a different Jesus to Judas. Are you with me? Do you understand that? He wanted a Jesus that would take the Roman Empire off the yoke of Israel's back and establish his kingdom. That's why John the Baptist said, "Are you the one or should we wait for another one?" John the Baptist thought the same thing. Until Jesus corrected his theology. Church, listen. How do you view Jesus? I argue with you this morning that apparently you can walk with him. You can perform miracles, for Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, there will many come to me in that last day at judgment and say, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons and do great miracles in your name?" And he says, "I will turn to them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me." You see, my friend, have you been called out of this world to follow Jesus? Jesus, through and through, Jesus. Come persecution, difficulty, attacks, it's Jesus. Is it a fair weather Jesus? You've got the wrong one. Is it a convenient Jesus? You've missed him. It's this Jesus who loves you so much that gave his life for you. And how do you view him? A Jesus to get you richer? Is he a Jesus to give you a bigger house? Is he a Jesus to fill up your tummy? Then you've got the wrong Jesus. But if he's the Jesus that you want, who will deliver our soul from hell, from the clutches of Satan himself, the Jesus that can wash away all of our abuse or all of our rape or all of our anger or all of our hatred or all of our jealousy, then you've come to the right Jesus. If it's the Jesus that you want, who said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," then I've got a Jesus for you. But if it's some other Jesus, and Paul said there are many other Jesuses out there, this teaching that he's about to give will separate the sheep from the goats, the pretenders from his children. Serious stuff. Challenging words. In the midst of a church of 12, the pastor had to deal with one who was lost and possessed. There's a lot more people here than 12. And I'm glad Jesus is still the pastor of this church. Oh Lord, these are your people. We belong to you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called People God Can Use, a study taken from Luke chapter 6 and verses 12 through 26. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you may know that we recently hosted the Southern California Bible Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and the entire event is now available for purchase on either CD or DVD. Visit us at realradioactive.org to learn more. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.